out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
And welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 7th of March, 2018. You're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. And I'm joined today by Billy Roper from the Shieldwall Network and the Roper Report, which you can hear later on today on Radio Arian. Billy, how are you doing today?
Doing great, Sven. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome. You're welcome. We've got lots to talk about today. We're going to get into a discussion about the differences between the alt-right and white nationalism 1.0, which has been brought about by an article over at Occidental Dissent, which actually mentions Billy in there as well, which I'm sure you must have been pleased to read, where he's basically saying, you were right, Billy. So that's going to be good to get into.
Always good to hear.
Always good to hear. But before we get into that, we've got some news, which has really just come out in the last half an hour. And this is about the Alison Chablow trial. This comes from Ian Millard. And he says that in an extremely unusual decision, the magistrate, the district judge, Zaney, the judge's name is, has decided that he will accept written submissions from prosecution and defence counsels. And then he will give his judgment on the 25th of May. Now, that is really strange because she was supposed to be in the dock today, actually answering questions from both the prosecution and the defence. Now, I would suggest that the people that are wanted this trial taken out against her, the campaign against anti-Semitism, they obviously do not want her to speak because they know that she will have answers for all the questions. And when Gideon Falter was in the dock last time, he could not answer the questions, and the campaign against anti-Semitism had to ask for a month to go back and check their notes and read the books that Alison Chablow was actually singing about. So this is really, this is the judge favouring the campaign against anti-Semitism and not being willing to actually put her in the dock and hear what she has to say. But I'm hoping we're going to have her on the Daily Nationalist on Friday to say what's happening. But that's just the latest news from there. And we've also got some latest news from the trial, the Britain First trial of Jada Franson and Paul Golding. And Jada Franson has been found guilty of 3 counts of racially aggravated harassment, and Paul Golding has been found guilty of 1. And it's basically for calling a convicted Muslim rapist a Muslim rapist. They went round there and tried to get him out to come out of his cafe to answer questions, and the guy refused to, and they said, come out, you're a Muslim rapist, and that was it, basically. And now, at the moment that we are recording this and this is going out on air, they're actually stood in the dock awaiting sentencing, and it could be a custodial sentence. We may get news of that sentence before the end of the show. Billy, have you got any thoughts on these latest persecutions of nationalists that we're hearing about in Britain?
Absolutely. I agree with you 100% that when you have a singer whose lyrics are what are basically on trial and the ideas and thoughts behind them, the last thing that the prosecution, the anti-white Jewish prosecution, wants to try to do is to give her the opportunity to have her voice heard, literally. And so they're going to, because she is the most powerful part of her own defense, they're going to try to remove her, Mr. Blas, from the equation as far as the trial is concerned. And the judge would have had the final say anyway, but you know, from what I've read about the previous aspects of the trial, where she had an opportunity to speak and some of her lyrics were actually recited, that was just spreading her message more. And so you're absolutely right that it does show a great deal of discrimination against Ms. Chablas on behalf of the judge there. He is very, very zany, and not to just disparage his surname, but he's crazy because he is doing such an obvious anti-white, pro-Jewish thing that regardless of the verdict, it will be clear that they had to railroad her to get any kind of conviction at all. As far as, you know, Mr. Golding and the other, you know, these are obviously attempts by the police, just like we see here in the United States, to keep us from noticing what is going on and to actually prosecute people who point it out. So, you know, I see a lot of similarities between what's happening in the UK and what's happening here in the United States on so many different levels.
Well, at least you still have a remnant of free speech over there. At least you can actually point to something in law which says that you can have free speech as long as you are not inciting violence. But over here in Britain now, I mean, apparently it's wrong to call a Muslim rapist a Muslim rapist. I mean, he is a Muslim and he is a convicted rapist, and she was just stating the court's judgment. And they're saying that, oh, that's a hate crime. And this was actually reported as the first hate crime verdict in Britain. And there's no such thing as a hate crime in law in Britain. So I don't know what that was talking about. But while they are persecuting nationalists for pointing out crimes of Muslims in Britain, we've got some horrific things going on over in South Africa. And I know we discussed the land grabs last week, Billy, but there's been some more news from over there. South African leader of the opposition is cutting the throat of whiteness. A firebrand South African politician has vowed to unseat a white mayor after praising plans to hand land to black people. Julius Malema, 37, who leads the country's Economic Freedom Fighters opposition party, said he wanted to remove Nelson Mandela Bay mayor Athol Trollope, specifically because he is a white man. He told a packed arena in Johannesburg that we are starting with this whiteness. We are cutting the throat of whiteness. During the speech, Malema said he wanted to unseat the mayor, a member of the Democratic Alliance, and accused the political group of being a racist party that promotes the interests of whites. All white people who are voting DA, who are angry with what we are going to do in Port Elizabeth, all of you can go to hell. We don't care about you. We don't care about white feelings, he said to loud applause and cheering. We don't hate white people. We just love black people. This I think is a perfect example of the mentality of Negroes. They will never understand the concept of racism because it just comes so naturally to them to care about their own people and not care about anybody else. That is just a natural part of life. That is the same for every race on this planet. Everyone wishes to be with their family more than other people. And it doesn't matter how badly behaved the family are, that they're still your family. And it's the same thing with race. It's the same with these Negroes. And it's only white people that think that is wrong. And because Negroes know that that is such an essential part of being, that you care about your own people, well, that can't be what racism means then. Racism has to just be anything that Negroes don't like about whites. And I've seen this so many times when people have tried to have an intelligent conversation with Negroes about racism and they just do not understand it. And that's the reason why, because it's so natural. And you can just see the thought processes going on inside the Negro's mind. Well, it can't possibly be caring for your own people because that's natural. So it's got to just be something that's unique to white people. It's a unique hatred that white people have for others. And I think we can see that here because he accuses this group of being racist and then says he doesn't care about white feelings. He just loves blacks and he wants to cut the throat of whiteness. And yet he doesn't seem to understand that is what racism is. This is what white people are accused of being. And yet it just comes naturally to him. And he doesn't think that this is racist. But again, this is just shocking what is going on in South Africa at the moment. Billy, what are your thoughts on it?
It is very shocking, but we have to look to the future when, you know, in 2066 in the UK, when whites become a minority and even earlier in the United States, we're going to get the same treatment unless we do something to stop it. That Nelson Mandela Bay municipality, they call it, was just created in whole cloth back in 2001, and it's down in Port Elizabeth in that area. Obviously, if you name something Nelson Mandela, they're honoring the terrorist, who killed so many women and children with his bus station bombs and then went to prison and refused to ever renounce violent terrorism before he was released and then elected president of South Africa. A lot of South Africans could see the writing on the wall and fled then, and some now, 4.5 million of them are caught there, unable to leave. But one thing I think is worth pointing out, even though you in the UK have less individual freedom of speech than we do here in the United States, I've seen over the last 48 hours in the news cycles that your media actually has been more forthright and honest in talking about what is going on in South Africa. And by that, I mean that the only news coverage in the United States of the white land grab in South Africa has been some media criticizing the right wing, criticizing whites for rightly saying that it's an example of ongoing white genocide. And then you have Jews writing for Breitbart who are counter-signaling us, saying Pollack wrote an article, I guess, yesterday, saying that it was not about race, it's only about socialism, that we should not focus on the racial aspects of the land grab of white land in South Africa. We should only focus on the socialist aspect of it. Now, obviously, to the blacks, it is about race. It's very clearly defined about race. It's not about socialism. And to see these libertarians and these so-called conservatives refusing, even in the face of 4.5 million white South Africans facing genocide, to face the racial aspect of it. And because no one in the controlled media in the United States is willing to even cover the story, not honestly. At least some of the media outlets in the UK, like The Independent, have written stories about it. And I guess maybe it's because they have such a tight control over the individual citizens that they know there's not going to be much reaction. The converse is true in the United States. The controlled media is actually our thumbs down authoritarian control over access to information because